Now that you've found UBN Radio and discovered our quality talk shows, it's time to spread the word to friends, family, and the universe. 24 hours of music and talk. Radio without limits. That's why people keep coming back for more. That's UBNRadio.com.
We're talking love in the modern world. This is Dates and Mates with your host, Damona Hoffman. I can't care about anything
but you. Good morning. Happy Wednesday. Hope you guys had a wonderful Thanksgiving. I sure did. I had a Thanksgiving birthday, a give birthday celebration pumpkin pie cake. The whole nine, but hopefully yours was fabulous and fun and you got to spend it with people that you love. Hopefully you were not subject to something called the turkey drop. Have you heard about this thing, Devin?
Mm-mm. What's the turkey drop?
The turkey drop is the time of year when the young folk, you go home for Thanksgiving, you're in college and you don't want to deal with your boo that you met at the beginning of the semester, so you turkey drop them.
Oh, that's what that's called?
It's called the turkey drop. No, it's a real thing. So there's a lot of breakups that happen at this time of year. But it's also great because there are a lot of people that are single that now want to be with someone for the holidays. They want to get that Christmas gift, okay? They got to get it locked down. So they start a relationship now. They sign up on dating sites. This is actually the biggest time of year for online dating. So between Thanksgiving and New Year's, that's when dating sites see the biggest signups. So if you're not online, let me tell you, you got to get online right now because there's all kinds of new faces and new hotties that are there. But if you were a victim of the turkey drop, I'm sorry to hear it. But we have some answers for you today. I'm going to be joined by Catherine Hickland, who is the author of The 30-Day Heartbreak Cure. So between now and the end of the month, we're gonna show you in 30 days how to get over your heartbreak. And then you can sign online and meet your honey and be out with them by Valentine's Day. How about that? Sounds good. How about that, Devin?
Yeah, sounds awesome.
So Devin is here live tweeting at Datesmates Media.
Yeah.
Yep. And also producer Naina, she has some funky cool new headphones.
Yeah, I just wanted to wear my own today. So it's a germaphobe thing. It has nothing. The headphones in the studio work great.
They almost look a little bit, they're sort of shiny and reflective, and they kind of remind me, it feels Christmassy, doesn't it?
It does. It feels very
It feels like a little bit like
a
Christmas ornament sort of on your ear. That's a great idea. Christmas ornament headphones.
That is. Write it down.
Don't steal my ideas, you guys. let's start off with a little D's dating dish.
D's dating dish.
Holidays bring people together, and Thanksgiving sure did that for Nick Cannon and Mariah Carey. Mm. They were back together for Thanksgiving, and you know, they have 4-year-old twins, so Mariah's been on the road with the twins, taking the kids all over the place. I wonder who's taking care of them, because you know she's not.
She has like sitters, and she probably has a whole mini team.
Is that good for kids to just be schlepping them around the country?
As long as they get that hug and that love from mama, I mean, they're probably on the side of the stage, like watching or something, you know, because they're not that little. So,
or they're like on her iPhone, just totally bored. But anyways, she brought them back home and spent Thanksgiving with Nick. And apparently she did not stay over. She packed up the kids, took them to a hotel. I don't know why they can't stay at their dad's house, but whatever. And then she, of course, in true Mariah fashion, posted a very, very seductive photo on Instagram. Like, happy Thanksgiving. She's wearing this red dress. It's like low
cut. She looks great.
She does look great. She's so curvy. My goodness.
Yeah, she looks great.
I didn't get any
of
that.
And people were talking about her gaining all that weight, but I think because of the breakup and, she's overeating and eating herself under the table because they broke up. But I think she looks fabulous.
I mean, it all went to her ass, but
in her boobs. She looks awesome.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. She's like a cartoon character. But seriously, you're at your ex's house for Thanksgiving, and you're like, let me just snap this very sexy Instagram photo, like, to show that we're together as a family for the holidays. She's like, eat your heart out, Nick. Yeah. Eat your heart out. Did you know there's a 10-year age gap between them?
Yeah,
I can't believe it. She's 44. She's good, looking good, and she got herself a 34-year-old man.
He just was a little raggedy on a breakup. I mean, I rock with Nick. I rock with Mariah, but I think it hurt him. It probably hurt him a lot. So he had that, you know, he had that huge tattoo.
Yes,
and he got that covered up or whatever. Yes, so like he did that, and then I guess his dad started saying stuff about the breakup too, which wasn't really cool. Like. Parents should kind of keep that in
their
house.
Stay out of it.
Yeah.
Well, apparently Mariah's not taking it all that well because she was supposed to do an appearance yesterday for like a holiday tree lighting for, I think it was NBC. And she was on the phone with her divorce attorney for 3 hours. She kept people waiting for 3 hours in the cold. And they were like, never mind, Mariah. We don't need you to. Aww. She's like, okay, I'm going to perform. They're like, no, it's over now. And they like turned her away. Oh, but wow. It's come on, you cannot keep your fans waiting.
So the divorce is final, right?
No, it's not final.
Divorces take forever, Devin.
Yeah, they do.
Oh, I don't know. I've never had that. Yeah.
And hopefully you never will. But they take forever and they cost. But like she couldn't be like, hey, lawyer, I'll call you right back. Let me just go and sing a song and I'll come back. Come on, Mariah. Please.
I hope they get back, by the way. I hope they get back together.
I don't think it's gonna happen.
I don't think it's gonna happen.
I know you believe in love. So let's hope. Maybe by Christmas. Maybe if that's a photo she posted for Thanksgiving, God knows what she's going to post on
She might be
Christmas.
In a bikini for Christmas.
Right?
Get it, Mariah.
Let's keep an eye out on Instagram. And Devin, if you see a bikini pic of Mariah.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to be on it for sure.
So there's an interesting little, it was like a. Not an infographic, but it was a Mashable posted something. Mm-hmm. What do you call what do the kids call this?
Yeah,
it's like an interactive
hogwash, okay. Right?
Okay, let me tell people what it was. So Mashable went to Match.com and asked them to collect data on what people said in their profiles and figure out which words people used more in certain states. Over other states. And so they did this map of the United States and you can click it and see what the word is for your state, like what everybody's saying in their profile that they're not saying elsewhere. So I found this kind of interesting. New Yorkers, of course, they said museum because they're, you know, they're smart.
Can they even spell museum?
And cultured. They're smart and cultured, Devin. My home state of Michigan, bonfires?
People camp. They get their campfire in Wisconsin.
That's not like a campfire. A bonfire. That's like you know throw.
Well, it's a good actually. Michigan is a big college city. Well, Michigan State.
Yeah.
So maybe that's probably why, because the demographics are younger. That might be why the bonfire.
Who's like writing that in their profile? Like gonna go to the bonfires? I don't know. And then. Texas and North Dakota. You want to guess what that word was? Silence. We can't have silence. We're on a radio show.
All right. Really, I'm going to.
It's oil.
What?
It's not. I'm not talking about oil like for your hair.
Those people with the cha-ching.
Well, I guess you know North Dakota is a big. That's now they're doing a lot of drilling there. So there's so many men that are up there. That it's actually a great place for women to go to meet somebody.
Mm-hmm. If I'm not here especially for Christmas, if
you want a guy covered in oil, too. You know, already slicked up, ready to go.
That sounds kinky.
Oil money. How about that? Not the oil, actually.
I thought you said my baby oil.
The oil money. We want the oil money.
Well, the funniest one to me was Mississippi. Because it wasn't even a real word. They said that that people in Mississippi said looking. Yeah.
That's a word in the urban dictionary.
Like no G. It just they said looking.
I've been looking
for
you.
I'm looking for
the girl.
The cops is looking for me.
That must have been what it kept appearing. So, I mean, I don't know. It was entertaining to click through. You guys can... We posted on our Facebook page, my Facebook page, facebook.com/DearMrsD. But I found that kind of interesting. But I don't know if it's really, really true. Like, it seemed sort of...
I believe the Illinois one, though. The Illinois convenient. Is neighborhood, because Illinois or Chicago is such a very segregated city that people always want to know, where are you from? Where'd you go to high school? Where you live?
What neighborhood
do you live in? Like, live that's some Chicago
side.
Stuff.
If you live on the South Side, no.
That is so Chicago. If someone asks you...
But there's a whole other state that they're pulling from.
Yeah, but the majority of the demographic from who these people are being pulled from is probably Chicago. The major cities in all these states.
I don't know, though. I mean, Nebraska, Iowa, Kansas, and South Dakota all said farm. Everybody's saying farm there. And then the people in Oregon all say kayak. I don't know. Where are you guys from? If you're listening live, hop on the chat roll. You can sign in there with Facebook or Twitter. Tell us, where are you from and what words you think describe your state? Because I'm not so sure about what Mashable is saying and if it's really accurate. Really quick, we got to talk about Ray Rice. So he just spoke out this week for the first time about the incident with his wife, now wife, Janae Rice Palmer, whatever. But they talked to Matt Lauer on the Today Show, and he said that he regretted not apologizing to her, because she actually apologized to him.
Yeah.
But he never apologized to her for, like, blacking her out. But she claims, like, this hasn't happened before, it hasn't happened since. Like, they had verbal arguments, but it never got to that.
I believe that. I believe
it just happened to get to that state in a public place.
I believe it. I believe they probably had some sort of physical tussle before, but I don't believe that it happened, you know, this intensely before. I mean, I'm
not one to judge, but like, if something was going to go down, is a public place going to be the place where it happens for the first time? I'm not so sure. I'm not so sure, because usually that's happening behind closed doors. I wish them the best, and I guess he's just trying to get back into the NFL now.
Yeah, he's now able to play. So at this point, it's a matter of him possibly getting picked up for it with the team. And whether that's going to happen or not, I mean, teams may want to stay away from him because of the drama that this has caused, and they don't want to take attention away from the organization, considering he's the topic of conversation. Mm-hmm. It's like we're the star. You are not about to take our shine.
They say that, but then
distract the team from winning, because it is football season, and they're trying to win these championships.
And scandals do get butts in seats.
Yeah, they do.
Though, too.
Yes.
But also, I think that the bigger issue, real quick, is that the NFL is going through a complete overhaul. I know you guys don't really watch sports. But
I do. Excuse you.
I sure don't.
I'm sorry.
I'm first, honey.
But the commissioner, he's very corrupt. And they're going through a long process of trying to get him replaced, because you can't charge someone with an offense twice. So he got charged twice for the same thing that he said he never lied about. That's why I got overturned, because he never lied about it. He told the truth. But he got two different suspensions, one for two games and then one for a lifetime. So they said, you can no longer do that. You have to base your rulings based off previous decisions. You can't just come up with a crazy decision.
Sort of like
decision.
The Supreme Court, right?
Kind of like the Supreme Court, yeah. So now the NFL is going to, it's really going to get crazy now.
And again, it didn't, like, we have a comment in the chat roll from Deep Dave Beth. She says it didn't stop a team from taking Michael Vick back. Again, like, at the end of the day, the team wants to win, but they also don't want to distract it. And the other thing that to keep in mind, when it comes to football, their money is not just based on ticket sales. Their money is coming from all the sponsors and, you know, the advertisers. So guess what? If a team takes him back, they run the risk of the advertisers pulling out on a lot
of
the campaigns, and they don't want to lose that money.
Exactly.
A seat is a $60 ticket. Mm-hmm. But guess what? That advertiser is spending like $20,000, $30,000 a game possibly for the whole season. So
he goes on air and he apologizes and gets everybody back on the side.
Yeah, he's no longer the scapegoat.
Right. We did get a question on our Facebook page that I did want to answer before we take a break. So, by the way, if you guys have questions, post them to facebook.com/DearMrsD or tweet us at DatesMatesMedia. We could answer it on a future show. This one comes from Jose. He says, why is it that women say that there are guys who are just plain too nice, and when they decide to date a bad boy, they really do not like it? This is something that really gets me all the time. Is there such a thing as being too nice, especially if one's nature is that way? Thank you, Jose, for your question. I would say, as someone who married the quintessential nice guy, I went through a process. I called it Operation Date Nice Guy. Some of you guys have heard me talk about this before. But I had to make a conscious effort to give a nice guy a little bit more time and a little bit more space to be who he was. And I'm so thankful for it. Because it's people get addicted to the feeling of that adrenaline rush of when they're falling for a bad boy and he's putting you through all that drama. They're feeling something, so that and they confuse that with feeling love or feeling attraction, because it does bring up a lot of emotion. So I have to say, Jose, I think that if you're a nice guy, go ahead and be a nice guy. Don't become a bad boy to try and attract a woman, because ultimately, if you're looking for a real relationship, she doesn't want to be with the bad boy long term. And eventually, like me, she will clock herself on the head and come around. But there is something to be said for not being overbearing. I was talking to one of my clients about this earlier last week, and you know, he was afraid of disappointing a girl or saying something she didn't want to hear. So he was going to go on a Black Friday trip with her to IKEA, which basically just means you're going to be carrying her stuff. But he had said he would go out with her, but he didn't know that IKEA was the trip. So that, in that case, as a nice guy, you're crossing into being taken advantage of. And so you don't want to put yourself in that position, because a woman still likes a strong man that's not going to be a pushover and not someone that they can just walk all over. So, I mean, unless she's really, really hot, I would not go to IKEA with her. There's a line between being a nice guy and being a pushover. But I say, girls, if you find a nice guy, go for it. I think dating a nice guy is definitely a dating do. We're going to take a quick break. When we return, we're going to be joined by our special guest to talk about how to get over a breakup, move on, and build yourself up in just 30 days. You're listening to Dates and Mates. We'll be back in just a moment.
Being single got you down? Frustrated with your dating life? Tired of being alone on Valentine's Day? In 2003, I decided to stop pulling at my hair, crying myself to sleep, and watching another Valentine's Day come and go. That's the year I turned all my misses into a missus. I'm Dear Mrs. D, former Hollywood casting director. Utterly disappointed with a go-nowhere love life, I took the role-winning audition techniques I used to teach actors and applied them to dating. I posted a marketable profile online promoting my number one product, me. And after only a few months online, I met and married the love of my life. A loving, healthy relationship isn't just going to show up on your doorstep. Put yourself out there the right way. My new book, Spin Your Web, How to Brand Yourself for Successful Online Dating, gives you all the advice and tips and secrets to advertising your own number one product, you. Spin your web to find your soulmate now.
Do you have a hot date set up for this weekend? Well, you should. If you're online dating and you're not getting the messages you want from the people you want, something needs to change. That's why I created a free video, The 5 Biggest Online Dating Mistakes You're Probably Making Right Now and How to Fix Them. I've seen clients double and even triple their inbox overnight just by using the tips I show you in this video. So if you're ready to become an online dating success story, go to datesandmates.com to access the 5 Biggest Mistakes, and you'll get a very special bonus.
For the ladies, the Make Him Message method will get that hottie you see online pursuing you. And the guys get exclusive insight into the 7 reasons why she's not sleeping with you. Go to datesandmates.com now, click the button for the 5 Biggest Mistakes video, and kickstart your heart today.
Well, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Hello, Catherine. Our guest is here.
We did it. Now, I can't
you are live on air, Catherine.
I'm so excited because, you know, as you know, I'm on the ranch and we are in the middle of nowhere up here, which is, well, I should say it's amazing. The fact that we can do this via technology is awesome. I'm happy to be here. How are you?
I'm so good. Technology is awesome. And before I introduce you, I just want to let everyone know who just heard the 5 Biggest Mistakes promo. It's only going to be available for a limited time. So speaking of technology, you heard me say earlier that online dating is big right now between Thanksgiving and New Year's. This is the best time to be online. And so I do have that free video, the 5 biggest online dating mistakes you're probably making right now and how to fix them. And it's only going to be available through the end of this month. So don't miss your opportunity to get this free video. Go to datesandmates.com and pick up your 5 biggest mistakes video right now. And so let me introduce my guest officially, Catherine Hickland. You probably know her. She was on ABC's One Life to Live. And she's also been on Broadway. She was in Les Mis. She's a fabulous actress, but then she also got trained as a hypnotherapist. Now she also travels the country and performs hypnotherapy shows. And on top of that, as if that wasn't enough, she also is the author of a book called The 30-Day Heartbreak Cure. And so I'd like to give big smooches officially to my guest, Catherine Hickland.
Well, it's really good to be here. Thank you. Oh, wait a minute.
There's your smooches. See, dude, technology, it makes even smooches possible. Actually, I heard about an app where you can actually kiss the app and it like vibrates for your partner on their phone. And then you can feel, if you're like dating long distance, you can feel their kiss through your phone. It's totally weird. Catherine.
Well, no, it's actually not weird because when my husband and I met each other, we lived in different cities and... So we would sleep Skype and we would keep the Skype on all the time so we could talk and share our day and Skype kiss. And, you know, it was pretty cool. I mean, you know, if you're not going to be with somebody that's in the same town, you got to know them as best. Relationships are dangerous, you know?
Yes. You know, our connection, maybe a little bit slow. I don't know if it would be better to get her on the phone, Naina.
Well, you know what we can do? You can get me on the phone and I'll just turn my...
We could do both.
Yes, we can do both. Well, exactly.
Well, actually, now I think our connection is good. So we're going to keep on rolling. Okay. You've had a really interesting career, Catherine. So tell me... Gosh, how do you go from being a successful actress to then deciding to become a hypnotherapist?
Well, I'm a hypnotherapist, but I'm also a hypnosis shows. And I've been doing that for quite a long time. It's just that after 34 years of acting, I just didn't have the passion for it anymore. But I have always had the passion for writing and for helping people and for performing live on stage. So that's why I made that choice. And now I just work for myself and I love it. And I do a couple hundred shows a year.
Wow.
Yeah.
So I've seen some clips on your website on CatherineHickland.com, and you call it comedy hypnosis. It is sort of performance based, but you know, is it really for entertainment purposes or do you feel like people can get a deeper benefit out of the hypnosis that you do?
Well, for sure. I mean, I do it for entertainment purposes on stage. But I have a very, powerful message in my show and at the end of my show. And I think that's one of the reasons that I have meet and greet lines that are an hour or 2 hours long after a show, because people want me to help them. And that's why I'm here. So it's, you know, my joy. Even sometimes that we make a connection with a person, it just doing that sometimes can really help. To really want to be seen, matter, and they, you know, they want to be loved, and that's what I'm about. So I combine all of that in one of my shows.
So is hypnosis really, is it safe? Like, have you ever had anyone at the end of the show that just did not snap out of it?
No, you know, because the truth is that if you just don't keep the mind, the subconscious mind, engaged long enough, you pop right out of it, and you know, you'll come back to to your conscious state. So that's a myth, you know, that someone could remain in hypnosis. It's not really possible. But that's one of the reasons why, when you have a lot of people hypnotized on a stage, that you have to keep them all engaged, you know, fair. You know, you'll crazy, wonderful things, but you kind of have to keep everybody engaged. Otherwise they will pop out of hypnosis, or mm-hmm. they might just fall asleep. So, you know, but no one's going to ever get stuck in hypnosis.
Are there people who are not susceptible to hypnosis?
You know, I don't know if I would use the word susceptible, but there are some people that,
if they're really stubborn,
no, they won't be hypnotized. And here's why. It's they don't want to be. They don't trust it. They're afraid of it. They're afraid someone's going to make a fool out of them. They're afraid they're going to lose control. There's like so many reasons somebody will not allow themselves to be hypnotized, because hypnosis is really not something we do together. And so if someone does, not likely they will be.
So you mentioned losing control. So in a way, being in a relationship, you in a way have to lose control a little bit to give yourself up to the other person. So I want to move on to talk about your book, The 30-Day Heartbreak Cure, Getting Over Him and Back Out There 1 month from today. So I'm sure there are people listening who feel like maybe they lost control in a relationship. I don't know what your specific story is, but I know that it inspired you to write this. Would you be willing to share your personal experience?
Well, you know, just to give you the Cliff Notes version of it, because to be honest with you, almost all heart later, and that's it. Grief producing, and you feel crappy, and you know, you can hardly function. And so, I mean, my story is simply this. I was in a relationship 25 years ago that ended suddenly, and I was really crazy about this person, and I thought we were in a very serious relationship, and we were. He just decided that he didn't want to be in this relationship anymore, and that's okay. Everybody gets to decide what they want to do. The problem was that shocked and heartbroken, and so I couldn't function. I mean, I had never been heartbroken before, and I had even been married and divorced prior to this. It's just, you know, I guess I had never handed my heart over to someone to this extent, and I didn't realize that. But when I got home, you know, from all this, I slept with the phone next to the pillow and all those pathetic things we do when we're wishing and hoping somehow that the person's going to come back to their right mind and realize that I am it. And so, you know, I really was having a hard, I couldn't stop crying, and I couldn't eat, and I couldn't sleep, and anything else. And I was just wondering, I mean, I just looked so bad. I hadn't slept, and I had deep circles under my eyes, and I felt really hollow and just sad, just depressed. And I thought, when is this going to end? When is this going to end? I cannot take it. This is not who I am. I'm a really happy person. When I wake up in the morning and left to my own devices, I'm super joyful. So I was sitting in the kitchen on a stool, staring at the wall, which I had done. I call it the 1,000-yard stare, where you just stare. And there was a calendar on the wall, and I saw it. And in my mind, I was asking myself, when is this going to end? And when I looked, days in front of me. This is going to end when I decide it's going to end. That's when it's going to end. And I said, how long are you going to give it? I decided I was going to give it 30 days. And inside those 30 days, I was going to find things to do that would let me get to know myself really well and my part in it. And why I picked the way I picked and all that. And so that's how the book came to be. And that's why it's called the 30-Day Heartbreak Cure. It's fantastic, this program, because it actually works. And you're not only better, you're just, you become a lean, mean dating machine.
Well, you know, I want to give everyone some of the tips from this 30-Day Heartbreak Cure. And I know it's a very unique way that you've paste the information throughout the book. I want to make sure people can hear you, though. So we're going to take a little break, and maybe will you join us by phone so we can make sure that everybody doesn't miss one word.
I'm going to join you by phone. So let's take that break, and I will get a phone line near me.
Okay. Excellent. You're listening to Dates and Mates. I'm your host, Imona Hoffman. We'll be back in just a moment. Welcome back to Dates and Mates. I am joined on the phone by Catherine Hicklin. She's the author of The 30-Day Heartbreak Cure. And it's about how you can get over him and back out there one month from today. So we were just talking before the break about how she had her own experience of being getting out of a relationship and wanting that pain, that awful feeling of wondering when it was going to end. She wanted it to have a timeline for her to be able to get over it. And so 30 days, that was the timeline that she set for herself. And Catherine, you were able to do it, yes?
Yeah, I think 30 days. I mean, we're not talking, let me make this clear. I'm not talking about losing someone to death, okay? Because that is a grief that is very, very unique and different and on its own and very different from having somebody break up with you mm-hmm. or something like that. So I want to make that clear because there are people out there that have lost loves to death, and that is due to a death, and that's a whole nother matter. So we'll just keep this to the relationship and people breaking up and mm-hmm. people leaving us or things like that, because 30 days is as much as I am going to give up of my life to somebody that I cannot control, that does not want to be with me, that has decided that they want to move on. I'm not going to give it more than 30 days because, I can't move on and I can't move forward and I'm not available emotionally. So the 30-Day Heartbreak Cure is not a shallow program. It's actually a very deep program, and it's only a chapter a day, and it's only maybe 4, 5, or 6 pages a chapter. And it gives you something to do at the end of it, so that you understand yourself. And understanding yourself gives you a great amount of power.
So what if someone has been in a relationship for, 5 or 10 years, and they're finding that relationship over? Do you feel like they should be able to do this program in 30 days, or do some people take a little bit longer?
Well, I've laid it out, and I use the principles of hypnosis when I wrote this book, because the mind does work in a very specific way. It heals in a specific way. It hangs on in a specific way. And, changing our patterns of thinking is really the key to everything. I meet people and work with people often that had their breakup happen years ago, and they still haven't gotten over it. And it's not because of any other reason except they don't know how. And so when you have the tools to do this, you can do this. And I know that this is true because it works not only on myself, but I get amazing testimonial emails from people who have had unbelievably difficult circumstances. I mean, really heartbreaking circumstances, being left at the altar, of course, this is the classic, the cheater, and, all that stuff. But it really makes sense the way that I do it. It makes sense. Because there are rules, and you have to live by them, and it's only for 30 days, and we can do anything for 30 days.
Let's dive down into some of these chapters. You have really great titles for them, too. So the first 3 days, you say they're about crying yourself a river and rules.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, here's why.
Because tell me why.
When we hurt, we want to run away from the pain. That's human nature. We don't want to feel that pain, so we run from it. And when you run away from your pain, then you are avoiding it. You're feeling it, but not dealing with it. So I want people to lean into that pain, and I want them to lean into the tears and lean into all of it, because you get good and tired of it if you go towards it and make friends with it. You get tired of it. You get tired of feeling that way.
So you get 3 days.
You're running,
3 days to cry nonstop.
You get 3 days. Yeah, because then we're gonna buck
exhausted.
Up, you know, and we're gonna make it go. We're gonna reframe and refocus our thinking patterns and energy to a new place, starting on day four. But the first 3 days, I'm there with you. And when you read this book, it's like I'm with you. You hear my voice. You feel my hand in yours. And so I'm there with you every step of the way. You do not feel alone in this program.
So let's fast forward a couple weeks. Now we're on day 15. And we're talking to the ladies who are cooped up in the house, maybe depressed. We talked about Mariah earlier. Maybe they're trying to eat themselves out of the breakup. So day 15 is, it's not what you're eating, it's what's eating you.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me how...
Yeah, because, you know, eating is medicating. It's really no different than someone taking a Xanax for anxiety, or, you know, drinking to make the feelings of shame go away. It's just, eating is another way of medicating your emotions. And the key to the 30-day heartbreak cure is learning to manage your emotions so that they don't manage you. And that's really, like, if someone said, well, what is it in a nutshell? It is learning how to manage your emotions. Because when you are heartbroken and in pain, your emotions are managing you. So when we overeat, it's just one more way of trying to make it go away, but it doesn't. And then what happens is that we gain weight and we feel worse about ourselves, and then you just get into a spiral that's going down. So this is one of the reasons that learning to manage your emotions is so important.
I know I'm so a stress important. Eater for sure. I'm curious, Naina and Devin.
Oh, like, I think most people
does
are.
Everyone stress eat? Devin, do guys stress eat?
I just eat.
You just, I swear, I've like only seen Devin eat. I mean, we've been working together like, what, 3-4 months? I've seen you eat like twice.
It's been like almost 6 months.
You're like one of those people that forgets to eat.
I don't have to.
I mean. Oh, you know what? My blood sugar won't let me forget to eat. But whenever someone says they forgot to eat, it makes me howl, because I'm thinking, how do you forget to eat? I love food. I love to cook, and I love to serve it, and I love, that's how I express my love. I'm very, you know, I love food, you know, so I really get that. But, you know, there's a difference between enjoying your food and medicating with your food, and, you know, that's true.
Mm-hmm. So, Devin, you don't stress eat?
No, I don't.
Well, of course, I used to stress eat all the time, but now I just know how to re-channel, you know, those thoughts. One thing about managing your emotions, one thing about learning to do that is that you also manage your stress. And you've got to learn how to manage your stress, because this is a stressful world much of the time. And so you have to learn how to take yourself out of that mindset of, oh, my God, I'm so stressed out, so that you can function and right. hum at a higher frequency than, you know, than the stress frequency, because that is just so, that's why people forget why they walked into a room. It's why, they're trying to multitask and get something done, because they're humming along on the stress frequency, and you've just got to learn how to rise above that and get on another channel.
So speaking of stressful, one of the most stressful things that happens after a breakup is when you go to the grocery store and you're in the, you know, the cold cuts aisle or whatever, and you look up and there is Mr. Wrong staring you in the face. What do you do when you run into him? You have on day 23 running into him. What advice do you have when you're inevitably, if you're in the same social circle, you live in the same place, you're going to see your ex at some point? How do you deal with that?
Well, you know, that's why, and what day is that on?
23. It's
right.
At the end, towards
but
the end.
But the 23rd, you are going to be okay with that. By the 23rd, you're going to be okay with that. See, there's a reason everything's in the order that it's in. Because, wow, you just cannot imagine how, when you do the exercises at the end of each chapter, every day you start to get more and more distance between those illusions, I call them, that are managing us. Because, honestly, most of the time, the things that are bothering us are things that we kind of made up in our head or make up as we go, or romanticizing things that don't deserve to be romanticized at all. We tend to remember the good things. We don't have the right pair of glasses on when we're in this thing. We're thinking of all the sad stuff. So by day 23, I have you in pretty great shape, because when you run into them, the point is that for it not to tweak you. The point is that, you know, you are going to be fine. Day 23, it's like, oh, because we forgot the most important step, to mention the most important step. There is no contact for 30 days. No texting, no talking, no visiting.
That is important.
No going to the same friend's house that you're both friends with. No stalking their house, no following their car,
no Facebook stalking either.
That we do because we've really taken leave of our sanity, you know?
So I totally agree with that.
So do you say hi to them when you see them? Like, what do you do, though?
You can't be tethered to them.
They're just a person, but, you know,
you're just like, hey, what's up?
Like, you can't ignore that they're standing there, but you don't need to have a conversation with them and be like, hey, what are you doing later? Right? If you see them, you acknowledge them and you move on, right?
You acknowledge, hey,
it's a person.
Good to see you. You know what?
That's a
even
lie.
Even if you don't feel that way,
bad to see you. What
you
if
know?
You said bad to see you?
Right, bad to see you. Just speak the truth.
But it's funny, actually.
Okay, by then, you are kind of really, you can in your mind, you know, be really grateful that a person that could walk away from you is no longer controlling your mind and your heart. Because I love Pastor T.D. Jakes, who is just the most amazing man. And if you've never heard of him, you know, anyone that's listening, he writes probably the greatest piece on letting go I've ever seen in my life. So if you just Google Pastor T.D. Jakes and put in and after that, let go or letting go, you'll see this sermon that he wrote, and it really is fantastic, probably the best I've ever seen in my life of what letting go means, because it's so easy to say, and yet people say, but how do you do it? And, you know, I agree with him, and what he says is, if a person can walk away from you, let them walk and keep on walking, because we're not tied to people that don't want to be with us. We're not supposed to be with people that don't want to be with us. And I couldn't agree with that more. And by day 23, running into somebody in a store isn't going to take your heart and twist it up and tweak you out, because you're going to realize you are worth more than someone that can walk away from you.
It sounds good. Mm-hmm. I do think sometimes it's hard. I mean, I guess if people have been through the first 22 days, they have enough ammunition in their arsenal to be able to fight this moment. And you got past it, and you actually, I saw that you met your love on Facebook. Can you share your love story with us, your cyber love story?
Well, you know what's interesting is I was I'll try to make that interesting and short, but here's the thing. You were opening the show talking about the five mistakes people make when they're online dating. And I think that is a great thing to offer people, and I think meeting people online, I know a lot of people that have done this, and you know, it's getting to be bigger and more popular and all that, and I've never been on a dating site, but I will tell you that I think the greatest thing, if you know, about doing that is because I did meet my husband on Facebook. We had gone to the same church 30 years ago. I knew who he was. He knew who I was. It was just that it was 30 years since we had seen each other. So he found me on Facebook. He happened upon me there and wrote me there. And I think Facebook is fantastic for meeting people. And here's why. Match.com and all these other things are great, except people are can be whoever they want to be. And they are. They put personas up. I feel there's very few people that are completely honest on those sites.
They're
looking for the best mate, version and so they want to be. They're going to put their PR agent up there.
Right.
You know
exactly
what I mean by that?
You have to. I mean, people do the same thing when they go to the bar, right? You don't show up to the bar in your sweats, so you get your
right.
hair done, and
except
then
that
except for if you're Devin.
I would say, but people on Facebook don't do that. They let it all hang out. Mm. I'm not talking about going there as a dating site. I'm just saying if you meet somebody,
it's the real
find their
them.
Facebook page and read the last 3 months of their posts. And
right.
you will go, oh, who's that?
Right.
That's not the person on Match or, you know, eHarmony or whatever, you know. You've got to be a sleuthing detective and you've got to learn how to read people, which I have 3 chapters in my book. And they're called dangerous personalities, and mm-hmm. it's very important to learn what that is, what it looks like, how it moves, so that you can be smart. Because, you know, dangerous personality people are—they're charming and they're very—they can sway you and they can, you know, knock you off your feet. And so, you know, you have to learn how to see the signs of that. And sometimes we don't want to, but you're going to just have to do it because that's how you become a lean, mean dating machine and meet the love of your life and not waste your time, which is, you know, precious. My time is very precious.
Yes,
so
it is.
My story was simply this. I was married for 17 years to a really great man. And he and I, we ended our marriage, and it was very sad, and the reasons don't matter. But the point is that the marriage ended, and instead of us at saying, oh my God, this is the end, we said, hey, you know what? We are such good friends. So let's just say this. This divorce is not going to be the end of our relationship. It's going to be the beginning of our friendship. And so we were able to, you know, emotionally, intelligently go through this process of ending a 17-year marriage with as much love and honor as possible. Mm-hmm. That took 2 emotionally intelligent people to do. I was already on a good road for that. Yes, it hurt. But it was a beautiful parting, and we're still very dear friends to this day. Now, after that, I dated a little bit, and, oh, it was just a horrendous experience. And I decided that I had a lot to learn because I had been married for so long. So I took a year off.
And you know
decided
what?
Decided I wasn't going to date.
Catherine, they're going to kick me off the air in a minute. I love your story, and I'm sure people can also hear this in your book, but when you got over, it wasn't that heartbreak. It was like through dating more people that led you to
write
this book.
Well, I just realized I had a lot to learn, and you know, I'll just skip to the story, which is basically, do you have to take a break? Is that what you mean?
This is actually the end of the show. We're
oh my God.
Already come to the end of the hour.
Facebook. Just always go to Facebook, you know, because you can tell a lot about a person by reading their posts for the last 3 months. So that's what I want to tell people. If you're dating online, go look them up on Facebook.
Right.
Do whatever you have to do. Super sleuth.
Super sleuth.
I met my husband there. It's awesome.
Well, I love your success story. I love your book. People can pick it up on Amazon.com, and they can also find out more about you at CatherineHickland.com. I'll spell it for them. CatherineE Hickland, HickLand.com. They can find out where you're performing, where you're hypnotizing people. They can get hypnotized and also pick up your book. Thank you so much for joining us, Catherine. It's been such
a
pleasure having you on the show.
Thank you so much. And I think what, you know, you're doing is great, and keep it up, and much success to you.
Thank you so much. And for those of you who are listening that are still single and looking for the one, don't forget, for a limited time, we have the 5 biggest online dating mistakes you're probably making now. So don't online date the wrong way. Do it the right way. Get in that right relationship and get this video for free. It's at datesandmates.com. Join us again next week at 11 a.m. Until then, happy dating.
Welcome to the new sound of online radio. Welcome to the sound of Universal Broadcasting Network.
Cause you make me feel like I've been locked out of heaven.
A mix of today's hits and hard-to-find favorites. Combined with the most entertaining and intriguing talk anywhere. This is your sound. This is the
the sound of Universal Broadcasting Network at UBNRadio.com.